Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
You are a mighty fortress of supreme knowledge. Progressive Direct has not only revealed their rates, but those of their competitors. If you were any more in the know, you would be drowning in, you know, the know.
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates, because knowledge is power. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour.
Over.
On BlogTalkRadio.com. Here we are again. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for joining us here on the Taxi Stand Hour. This is John Shannon. My good friend Ed Van Ness is waiting with the wings. We're just waiting in the wings. We'll wait to see if it's Ed or Ed's robot here. Talk to me, brother.
Good morning, all. Greetings from fabulous Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Hey.
Was it me or the robot?
No, it was you, actually. Would you throw that damn robot in the trash?
Well, what are you
done with it?
He's standing by.
Oh, he is. Throw the bastard
He's
away.
Standing by. He wants to talk to your robot from last week.
Oh, man. Oh, did you hear? You didn't hear any of that, did you? Or that debacle last week?
I listened to the replay.
Actually, you know, what was funny about that was if you were just listening to the replay, you probably wouldn't have known much was going on. But when I played it, it actually cut that part of, you know, because I had to shut things down, restart the computer and the whole bit. So I was really, but it didn't play that big gap. It basically disconnected and just picked up where I left off. So, God bless Blog Talk Radio. So, what's happening in your world there, sir?
Well, I'm caught up in my own wiring here.
Sounds like you're trapped in it or something.
I just hit my head on my microphone as well, so we're starting
Jesus.
Off. This is big time professional radio. Oops. We don't want that. Fairfield Inn. A fun couple of weeks. I appreciate you manning the helm last week because, well. I'm just glad it wasn't me last week.
So you say you had a
fun
pretty
couple
funny.
Of weeks. I had a run I had to deal with, and you know, they paid a couple dollars and nothing personal, but a couple of bucks important to me right now.
Well, no, I totally get that.
Yeah. Well, we had a fun week here in the state of Florida because now we are headed towards statewide regulations with our favorite predator.
I had a couple questions about that. Well, I'm curious about
answers.
That. Well, what seems to be happening is in these other states where the statewide regulations are in effect, states like Michigan, states like Maryland, are excuse me, not Michigan either. Massachusetts and Maryland. My bad.
Yes.
Paul, what did you say?
Confirming it.
Oh, yeah. It seems like they are finding a way to kick a bunch of scab drivers off of the, tell them, hey, you can't do it. Got too many outstanding issues here. Whether it be a criminal record, bad driving, I think I saw child support failure to pay child support. A lot of stuff that they're kicking these people off and saying you can't be a cab driver and you can't be a rideshare driver.
Well, bear in mind, a couple of weeks ago, that was little stuff that was supposed to have been done by Uber and Lyft already.
Yeah.
As usual, they promise the world and don't follow through because, quite simply, it's just not convenient for them. Then we're looking at things a little differently here in the Sunshine State. The key items in the legislation, as far as I can see, the number is that as of July 1st, and by the way, this is all, the only thing left is Governor Rick Scott has to put his signature on a piece of paper, which should happen. If it didn't happen yesterday, it should happen this week. But July 1, this comes into effect, and what it means is that no municipality can create any rules or charge any fees other than airport and seaport to a TNC. So I give you local say of whether or not TNCs are permitted in their area. A good example of that is Key West. Key West is flat out, and the Lower Keys, they have flat out, they want no part of this. Absolutely not. Now they don't have a say. So Uber's going into the Keys on July 1st, and the fine folks in Key West have nothing to say about it. Here in Broward County, what it means is that the licensing fees from Uber and Lyft, those go away. So our two county commissioners who sold this under the table are now feeling the brunt of what it's like to get screwed over by Uber pastures. Because now they've lost their whatever. Essentially, Uber and Lyft no longer have to deal with 67 different counties and pay off all their people up in Tallahassee. It was the votes were overwhelming in favor of it, which just shows you either how corrupt it is or how our legislators have no idea what's going on out there.
I think it's a combination of both, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. And one of the bigger issues here is going to be the insurance issue. Now, police states that a TNC's insurance carrier must be a member of FIGA, Hard Insurance Guarantee Association, which is a body created by the Florida legislature some time ago. What it means, what its purpose, make sure that should an insurance belly up, its claims will still get paid. Now, James River is not and never has been a member of FIGA. Currently, they can't do business here in the state of Florida. Come July 1st, I personally think not. I think it's going to be another case of Uber says, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And it never gets. This is where we're heading into where, the part where Uber doesn't want to follow its own rules that it helps write. And I believe Florida will now be the 36th state with statewide regulations. If Uber survives, personally, I believe what's next is they're going to shoot for federal regulations, and we've got just the administration in place to be looking at.
Yes, we do.
Big money signs. So that's if they last, if they survive.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned at the federal level, I still, the only, at least the only presidential candidate from last, from the last election that I think would have maybe gotten in the way would have been Bernie Sanders had he been elected.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we got a
What was that? I didn't hear you.
So we have a couple of callers.
We do. Oh, I was looking at the other. I was looking at the other screen here. We got two. Let's go to area code 360 here, real quick. You're on the stand.
Just
good morning.
Listening. Good morning. Just listening.
Hello. Just listening.
Yeah, just
okay.
Listening.
Oh, okay. You want me to put you
him
back
in the back
on,
and aligned on the stand.
There you go. I'll put him back there, and there you go. Yeah, when you call into the show like that, do me a favor. I think I'm going to do this. If you come in to the show and you actually have something that you want to contribute, shoot us a quick tweet here at the taxi stand hour, or excuse me, taxi stand hour at taxi stand hour. Shoot us a quick tweet there, and we'll put you on. Because otherwise, yeah, I know we have another guy here in the 678 area code that also likes to just kind of sit back and listen, just listen with his phone, and that's great. Hey, however you want to listen, that's perfect. So with I don't know about with the thing in Florida. I hope that if they're going to, if Governor Scott winds up signing that thing down there, that the same things that happened in Massachusetts and in Maryland will take hold. It would be beautiful because, you know, Uber and Lyft, let's just, you know, we have one problem here is that we tend to, when we mention Uber, we forget about Lyft. And Lyft is nothing more than just a prettier version of Uber. You know, they've kept their nose a little bit cleaner than Uber has.
Indeed,
so,
yeah.
Has.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope we can have the same kind of result because, you know, you start kicking a bunch of drivers off the platform, you're going to wind up Uber or these guys will say, well, you know, this is getting to be too much of a pain in the ass for us. We don't want these type of background checks. Either you stop it or we leave.
That's why Uber goes in the laws themselves to have minimum impact, to keep the maximum amount of drivers out there, good, bad, or indifferent. And I've read this piece of legislature a number of times now, and I haven't seen anything that's going to give us a Massachusetts situation.
Hmm.
I think they covered
so
their base on this one.
And that is so hard.
So, I mean, they've learned their lesson now. This isn't their first. It's and that this is a big state. This is a state they really, really wanted to be in control of because tourism, top to bottom, and they're rubbing their hands in evil glee, twirling their mustaches. They're just loving life right now.
Yeah.
And all they're seeing is 85 cents a mile. Oh, the things I've been hearing. Oh. You're going to, I got a little story from a couple of weeks ago. I haven't had a chance to tell it on the air yet.
Okay.
Actually pretty nearby my place here. There's a Ferrari dealership. And they sell new Ferraris and all that. It's quite an impressive place. So I'm working a couple of Saturdays ago. Yeah, it was after the last time I did the show. And so I get an Uber call at the, which always stings me. You got to be kidding me. Well, not only did I pick up at the Ferrari dealership on the Uber X platform, the cheap one, to the Ritz-Carlton.
Jeez.
And I couldn't resist. And it was a nice enough fellow with his teenage son. The irony of this, don't you? You're going from Ferrari to the Ritz on the cheapest possible way. I said, you're just as shy of taking the bus. He laughed. He appreciated the irony of it. And he eventually, you know, he gave me a tip, and that was all nice and well. But I'm starting to see that. I'm seeing from these 4 and 5 star hotels, people using Uber X. And of course, it is, you know, you're paying $700-$800 a night for a hotel room. You got to save your money somewhere.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just interesting. I got one other story from the Uberverse I'd like to touch on. It's a test program. A test program Uber wants to run regarding teenage riders. Testing teenage accounts in Seattle, Phoenix, and Columbus. For an extra $2 in booking fees, rides for their teenagers. Now, the drivers aren't told they're picking up underage kids. They don't get any part of the $2. And it makes no sense other than to create more income for Uber. It changes nothing as far as safety of the kids. Not that a lot of these parents seem to care. I mean, they're doing it now. I had a 13-year-old, his own account, a 12-year-old. I'm sorry, last week I had a 12-year-old. Apparently, the parents couldn't figure out how to open their own Uber account, so they had the son do it.
Jesus.
I said, and we had the discussion. I said, you know, he seems like a fine young man, and he was. He was a pleasant kid and, you know, very respectful. I said, do you want him out there getting picked up by strangers in unmarked cars? And it still amazes me that some parents just are indignant about it.
And, well, it's funny. What's funny of it is that the parents of these teenage kids aren't really what I would call the millennial generation that basically swept Uber into the limelight even. You know, so that I really find that kind of fascinating. I don't know that we can pin this. No, go ahead, Ed.
So the parents you're looking at now are the workaholic parents, the you know, the work, high-profile careers, you know, your real estate agents, that kind of thing. And they just don't always have time to take care of their kids.
And, yeah, pretty much by the age of 12 and 13, they're taking care of themselves anyways.
Well, and that's all fine and well. But look, as we all hit that age, we wanted our independence, and I get that, and I understand that. You've got to let, you know, your kids spread their wings, fly, and sometimes skin their knees. That being said, when I was that age, we could collect down a cab. We would take cabs. Again, this is New York City and happened. But my parents would still flip out about me getting into, you know, an unmarked car. I didn't know because I almost did it when I was about 7 years old. And mother freaked, and justifiably so. Again, that whole idea of a teenage girl just getting in the car, and half the time, they're not even what car pulls up. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Take any four-door vehicle, take a minivan, go cruise up and down Fort Lauderdale Beach. You will find somebody to get in your car.
Oh, I'm sure. Are you my Uber?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I tell them, no, I'm your driver.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we might, even if Uber survives, we may find out that maybe in 10 years or so, that they're going to run out of drivers. Looking at a story on CNBC saying that only 4% of Uber drivers remain on the platform a year later, according to a report. Story reads, add to the list of problems at Uber, driver retention. Only 4% of people who sign up to drive for the ride-hailing service are still driving a year later, according to a report on the information. The company's accelerating driver drop-off rate is particularly due to increased competitions from companies like Lyft. But the number one complaint among Uber drivers is the pay, according to undisclosed data seen by the information. Many Uber drivers have complained about unfair competition for long trips and not being able to accept trips. An Uber spokesman told the information, "We recognize the need to improve our relationship with drivers and their experience using Uber. We are working on a range of improvements across our products, our policies, our customer support, and how we communicate." Well, golly gee, haven't they been saying they've been going to be doing that for ages now?
There's one surefire way to keep the drivers happy.
And what's that?
I had a dip. I said raise the rates.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Make the insurance standards a little stricter and raise the rates. Everybody goes home happy. I worked yesterday, and unfortunately, I didn't have any.
Go ahead.
Well, I said, unfortunately, I did not have any. Did I lose you?
No.
I think I lost.
No, you didn't lose me.
Okay.
What's happening is that we're getting, there's about a 3-second delay from when I finish speaking to when you might actually be hearing it for some reason. Covering that base is that I don't know how can you raise the rate without losing the customers with Uber, because customers are, you know, every time that I get on and smack somebody around when they complain about Uber, the thing they come back with is that cabs are too expensive. Well, cabs are, if you're used to paying 85 cents per mile, even if you bump the rate to, say, $1.60 a mile, that's still going to be too expensive for some of these little spoiled pricks.
To which I say, fine. Because until you've run around a millionaire for $2.64, don't care what they think about the rates. And quite honestly, most people say, oh, no, it's not about the money. It's, you know, cabs are smelly, cabs take forever to get here. What I was starting to say is, yesterday, all Uber Lyft day, I had none of my own personal work. So it was a grind. It was an absolute grind for 8 hours. The night I looked at what I had taken in, I keep an electronic trip sheet. So I know how much got coming to me at the end of the day. I thought to myself, if they raise these rates to just $1.50 a mile, still 90 cents a mile less than a taxi cab, I would have had a fantastic day. Fantastic day. You know, based on my expenses now, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that was interesting.
What was
that?
What was
real time for you? Some kind of loud feedback. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to do it until they're forced to do it. What Uber, the last time they raised anything was the booking fee for the customers.
Yeah, which I'm discovering, which you said, is that the driver doesn't see any of that money.
Nope. No, sir. No, sir. They raise for themselves, cut from the driver. And that's why they can't retain drivers. Now, eventually, they're going to have fewer and fewer drivers to contend with. At least once a day now, I'm getting somebody who's saying to me, well, I'm thinking about driving Uber. And I don't. You can't sustain yourself. You know, look, my vehicle is paid for. It has been, been a for-hire vehicle since I bought it. I have no illusions of me selling it at the end of its life, its useful life. I expect to get 2 years out of it. I am not delusional about maintenance, et cetera, which a lot of these folks. And they're going to start having a little bit of a hard time with drivers. They'll still be newbies there that, they're just happy to, they'll get sucked in by it. But
well, I think that
I tell
the,
people,
the,
I just.
I think that the day and age of the person who gets into Uber just to, as their sole source of income, I think it's been proven that it can't be maintained. There is no way. Yeah, you just can't do it. And so, and what's going to wind up happening is that these part-timers that are out here doing it are going to realize that really I'm going through way too much bullshit, especially at night. I mean, I can understand mm-hmm. where during the day, if you have a night job and during the day you want to make a few bucks before you go to work or whatever, I can see that. People are pretty nice, they're pretty decent, but you start getting into bar rush, and I don't know what it is, because I won't drive cab at night anymore, because I am I've had my fill of the drunks. I've had my fill of the obnoxious people. And so I don't do it. And I sure as hell would never do it in an Uber, because now these people have saved themselves so much more money that they can actually buy more to drink. And that's a dangerous thing.
I always get a kick out of, and I responded to somebody on Twitter this week along these lines about how somebody had put up there how Uber prevents drunk driving. No, drunks prevent drunk driving. Either the person or somebody close to them decides that that person should not be driving. Uber, taxis, anything alike, we don't initiate those calls. We act on them. Uber had nothing to do with lowering the drunk driving. And my favorite argument is, well, taxis are too expensive. How am I supposed to go out? No, you don't. If you can't afford it, then you don't go to a bar and drink. Buy a 12-pack and sit at home and get ossified.
Well, yeah.
If you can't afford. If I don't take an Uber, then I got to drive drunk. No, you don't have to. Absolutely not. Yesterday I got another hail and hearty handshake, a ride from a man out of Atlanta. Couldn't have been nicer about it. He was quite proud of himself. Oh, Ed, you did an excellent job. And I'm thinking to myself, five stars still does not pay the rent.
I was going to say, take your five stars and stick them up your ass.
I had a real jerk out of a restaurant area last night in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida, which is just north of Fort Lauderdale. Myself in this area, it's a little area called Meisner Park. Lots of upscale shops and restaurants, and I dropped somebody there, and I got immediately in the little area, and I knew I shouldn't have taken it. Well, I turn around, I pick up, it's alpha male, girlfriend, wife, whoever, trophy wife. So he's running his mouth from the second he gets in the car. And, your real type A frat boy, overprivileged, entitled jerk. when we get into the whole taxis versus thing, and just being a nitwit about it, he was, you know, well, you guys lost, he says to me, and it's all about the money. I said, really? He says, yeah, it sucks. It sucks for you, but that's the way it goes for us. And as he got out, I said, by the way, thank you for the nice tip. She lets out an audible gasp, as if, oh, my goodness, the Uber driver spoke to us, the nerve. And the guy gives me a look, and I roll down my window. I said, by the way, I am embracing the one star you're about to give me. Thank you very much. That's what I think about your star system. Don't care. It doesn't work. And that's, again, a ride I get $2.64 for because they're too lazy to walk.
Yeah. Hey, we have you're starting to depress me a little bit over there with some of this shit. So I have to bring up a good story here out of from the other coast of Florida, out of Tampa. Story. Did you hear this one? Well, anyways, it reads, Ray Freeman watched the police officer get knocked down through his cab's windshield just a few feet away. Then he said he saw the man who attacked the officer reach for his holster. I was afraid he was going to take the officer's gun and kill him, said Freeman, 56-year-old man out of Tampa. The cabbie said he got out of his taxi, rushed over, stuck out his arm, and clotheslined the man, knocking him onto North Hines Avenue across from Raymond James Stadium. Guy my age got out of his cab, saw that this cop was in trouble, and gave him a clothesline from hell. Good on you, my friend.
You got to appreciate a guy like that. Good for him. He got out, he did the right thing. And, you know, there you go. Bravo. Bravo. Take a bow, my friend. Take a bow.
Exactly.
That's our cab hero of the week.
You know, it's funny. What some cops don't realize is the man's 54 years old. I'm guessing he's probably been in the business for a while. And I had a situation here probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago where I had a personal conflict with somebody and was going to meet this person face to face. And I had called the Ramsey County Sheriff and told him, hey, you know, something might be getting ready to go down here. I'll give you a heads up. And he told me, he said, well, why are you doing these things? You're just going to put yourself in danger. And I said, well, you know, my friend, I've been operating a car with strangers in my back seat for over 30 years now. What makes you think that somebody I know is going to put any fear into me or cause any real danger? You know, I had a cop actually tell me back about 2 years into it, a lady cop told me that she wouldn't do my job. Can you believe that?
I have said to any number of police officers over the years as we're chatting, and especially when I was working deeper into the night, I would point out to them, I have to deal with a lot of the same people you do, but without the badge and the gun. And as an extra added bonus, they're sitting behind me.
So how many?
And I've had a few of them.
How many? I'm just going to ask, this just came to mind. How many drivers do you know that you, or you think, I should have, let me rephrase this. How many drivers do you think actually do carry guns down there in Florida?
Not as many as claim, but more than should be.
Yeah.
I
got to tell you.
It's the stupidest thing in the world.
You know why I don't carry it, would never carry a gun in my cab? Well, first of all, I drive dazed now. I don't think I'll ever get to a point where I'm going to need it. But here's the thing. I've often said that, because I was going there for a while and I was driving nights, I was averaging a runoff probably once a week there for a stretch. And I told myself at that point in time, I said, if somebody got out of the car, just, you know, got where we were going, he got out, bolted out of the car, he'd be target practice. Seriously, I would have no qualm with dropping his ass if I could hit him. I'm not an experienced shooter. But that's the other problem is I wind up shooting at some guy running between houses, and I wind up hitting the house that one of the houses he's running between. So, you know, like Clint Eastwood said a long time ago, a man's got to know his limitations.
Let me hop in for a second.
Uh-huh.
All right. So somebody's running on you on a $5 fare back as he runs away from you.
I know. You're absolutely right. And that's probably one of the reasons why I don't own a gun.
Well, first off, you lose in court right there because
he's
running away. He's no longer a threat to you. Second off, let's say you're in the car. Imagine you're sitting in your seat right now. Do it right now where you are. Okay? Mm-hmm. Your gun, anywhere you want it. Put your hand where that gun would be right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. And you can do this with anybody listening. Do it at home. Now, you've got your hand on your weapon. Somebody's in the back seat and Al puts a gun to your neck. You can't. They're sitting behind you. They will always have the advantage. By the time they leave the car, unless as they're leaving the vehicle, you are no longer in danger. You are no longer defending yourself. If you're defending yourself, it's one thing. If you're in the seat and you can somehow manage to get a shot off, well, God bless you. But the odds of that are... That's why carrying a gun in a cab is not only illegal in most places, it just makes no sense.
Yeah,
because
you're
never going
right.
to get nothing to do with
so
my
personal
opinions about firearms.
Well, no, you're absolutely
so
right. I am totally with you on that.
Okay.
I try to think things out logically when I'm pissed. You know what I mean? You think, God damn it. You know, you just would just like to see this person get theirs for, like you say, running out on me. I've never, no, I'll say this. I know. You're right. And you know, like I said, this is why I haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, though, if I was still working nights and still dealing with that crap, I was thinking about carrying along a paintball gun.
Totally
not lethal, and I think it would be a nice
decide what color you want the interior of your car, because that's what's going to happen.
Oh come on! I think I'd do better than that.
Before we move on, I want to tell you a story on this topic.
Okay.
He has long since left us. My friend Harry he had a concealed carry permit. Okay. He used to carry when he drove. He picks up a gentleman one night, takes him out to not one of the better parts of town. And he told me the story later on. And apparently the guy had been a pain the whole ride. So Harry gets him where the guy tells him to go. And Harry knew it was not the best part of town. He knew that this might happen. Takes off down an alley. The car is running. Big, heavy set guy, too. Harry said he got out of the car, took his weapon out. I had him in my sights. I could have drew it there. I was so pissed. But he knew better than to do it. I mean, he's got no cause. He's got no, oh, he wanted to, though. But again, this was a guy who had a permit, was legally allowed to carry the weapon. And he was exactly the situation you're talking about. When you talked about the scenario, that's what I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have done it. He could have done it easily. He says, then I thought about just shooting him in the leg. But he came to his senses. And, you know, you want to. Oh, believe you me, I want to run people down in parking lots. Are you kidding me?
I don't know if you've never driven a cab. You don't know just how frustrating it can be. And that's what a lot of these Uber drivers are finding out is that this isn't as easy as just letting somebody get in your car and taking them from point A to point B. This can be a real stressful job. You've got a complete stranger in there. For all we know, he might have stolen that phone, and the app was on the phone. Well, he orders an Uber, and for whatever reason thinks he's going to rob the Uber driver and get his cash. Well, how many Uber drivers do you know carry a ton of cash on them if they're smart?
That's actually one of the few upsides of this gig, is that you don't carry a lot of cash. No need for it.
Yeah.
But no, you make a valid point. There's for you know what I've been saying lately. Everybody talks about innovation. Well, seeing the forward pass and sliced bread, that's innovation.
Yeah.
But it's stolen software.
Yeah.
It's a dispatch system. Period. Anyway,
you know,
let's move on.
I wind up though. It's funny. I wind up actually trying to convince my customers these days to use a credit card if they have it, to tell you the truth, because I don't want to carry a bunch of cash on it. I can tell my wife, I have cash on me, I spend it. If it's in the bank, I generally don't spend it.
Hey, I got a story here real quick, unless you did.
No. Go right ahead.
Okay. So here's one of the other big contentions I have with Uber, and it really... I'm going to preface this by, first off, I saw a wheelchair accessible van that had Uber stickers on it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what are they trying to do now? They can't specifically order an accessible van through the platform. What's going on here? And then I got to thinking, it's probably a good thing that they didn't. It was a rear loading wheelchair van, minivan. And it had the whole area where the ramp was, or where it came down, was completely rusted out.
Yeah,
you're probably right. And it had the Uber stickers on it. And you know the funny thing about it is, and now maybe the local Uber office here knows me, or knows who I am well enough, and knows that I'm, you know, 99% of the time goading them. But this was one time that I actually wished that they would have responded and followed up with me, because, you know, you can't have that type of vehicle operating, especially if you're trying to take people in wheelchairs. You're just asking for danger there. But anyways, this kind of leads to this story that I saw Texas, out of Dallas, the Dallas area. North Texas Uber customer says she's tired of being denied service because she has a service dog and feels that the company's attempts to handle her complaints don't go far enough. Now she's taking her fight to the Department of Justice. The lady's name is Dee Dee Steele. She says that she has her own business doing medical filing and also runs an answering service for a doctor's office. She's proud of her independence and career, but she's the first to admit her cerebral palsy makes some tasks next to impossible. Her service animal, Goody, is a 10-year-old Australian shepherd who makes life a lot easier. I don't have enough balance to ride a bike or walk any more than a half a block, so I'm totally dependent on someone else to get me from point A to point B, she said. Steele lives in Mansfield, which is in the Dallas area. She takes Uber several times a month to South Arlington for medical appointments and to pick up paperwork. She says taxis are much more expensive, blah, 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 but they're reliable, well-regulated, and the drivers are well-versed with the Americans with Disabilities Act and understand they can't refuse service. She says, when I call an Uber, it will be maybe 60% cheaper, but it's a crapshoot whether or not the driver will let me in the car. She said, I don't know what's going to happen, how many attempts I'll have to make, and how long I'll be stuck with no way to get home because all the drivers are non-compliant. Steele said that she has been denied service 5 times in the last several weeks, including twice this past Friday. So she's gonna take this now to the Justice Department because Uber drivers are in huge violations of the ADA. They made some sort of a deal here in Minneapolis where they wanted the cabs or wanted more wheelchair accessible cabs to take that slack. And I think that it was kind of floated or it was a pipe dream that these accessible cabs would do these rides at Uber rates. And they got a resounding hell no. So
they tried to put nonsense here.
I didn't hear you at. What was that?
I said they tried to pull that same nonsense here originally a couple of years ago when Uber first came to town and there was the whole trying to set regulations. And the subject of, accessible vehicles came up. And Uber's response was their solution to the problem was, well, the taxi cabs at the Uber rates and the county commission, or even the county says, no, you're dreaming. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's their mindset is, here, we'll pawn it off on somebody else.
Well, I think what we have a lot of transportation companies here that take accessible rides. And I think that they were somehow trying to, when the taxis wouldn't cooperate with that, they tried to get a hold of these individuals and see if they would get into it. And nobody is going, there is extra, God bless the folks that are out there, trying to be mobile and take care of themselves and whatnot, and try not to be so dependent on other people. And it's great to see because these people are determined individuals. The fact remains is that there is extra work involved in ensuring that these people have a safe ride. I've driven an accessible taxi. It is a lot of work. You have to make sure that the chair is perfectly secured. You have to make sure that they're buckled in properly. There can be no, that wheelchair needs to be in the vehicle just as securely as if they were buckled into one of the seats. And it's not an easy task, especially when you're carrying a few extra pounds on you like I am. And, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And they don't they don't realize that nobody is going to do that job for Uber at the peanuts rate that they pay. I've got an idea. Why don't, if you get these calls for accessible vehicles, why don't you subsidize it out of the millions and millions of dollars that you are making off the backs of other cab drivers?
You're or other Uber drivers. Now, young man.
I didn't hear that. What was that?
You're simply being foolish now.
Oh, of course. It happens all the time, unfortunately. You know, I'm being way too idealistic here.
Indeed you are.
But you know what's even worse than not being able to accommodate wheelchairs? I'm going to sidetrack myself here. As I understand it, every single London black cab is wheelchair accessible.
Absolutely. They are.
Yeah.
That's why they're the best.
Exactly.
Why they are my heroes. I I'm going to sidetrack off your sidetrack. I saw something on Twitter. It was a note posted in a black cab. I guess the driver was his last day, and he was alerting his customers to that. After gaining the knowledge, and there was a handwritten placard in his cab and just basically saying, look, between the corrupt government and Uber and all that, I can no longer provide for my family. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see that. I mean, most of us, we can walk in and out of cab companies all day long. It's not the same for those folks. Not at all.
No.
And, yeah. But you're right. There's a vehicle out there. I've talked about it before. Ago, they were going to try to make it a vehicle industry specific. I'm sorry, but every one of these vehicles would be wheelchair accessible with built-in ramps coming off the side door. Just
mm-hmm.
And I thought this would be great. It's worth spending a couple extra dollars, but now you've got a vehicle that can handle everything and how all transportation should be, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, between
right. Yeah.
Between folks in wheelchairs, and now if you get that side of the car, think how many of our older, more frail customers would find it much easier to ramp into the car than to try to climb
yeah.
in.
You're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that brings me back to this story. Is that this wasn't even a wheelchair accessible ride. This was somebody right. with a guide dog. And you see this way too many times, is the refusal to take service animals. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to adjust my halo. I know that there are drivers in the cab industry that don't want to take guide dogs. But here's the difference
exactly.
is the customer files a complaint, that driver can get into a whole heap of crap, that company can get into a whole heap of crap. There is plenty of recourse on that. And so the cab companies make sure it is drilled in the driver's heads that, listen, you get a guide dog, you take that person where they want to go. You don't bitch about the dog shedding in your car. You laugh it off and you go to the nearest mm-hmm. gas station and vacuum it out. It comes with the territory, if you will. And
I couldn't agree with you on that. I have a thing. If it's a guide dog, a real true service animal, you will know it. You don't even have to question it.
Exactly.
You'll know. But it's, and I make no bones about this. No, your poodle in the bag is not, I don't want to hear about emotional service animals or, you know, he's my guide through the spirit world. I'm not interested in that. Leave your dog. Sorry.
You know what's funny about that, though? I'm a little different that way. I've only really had one bad experience with even with somebody that it wasn't even, they didn't even pretend that it was a guide dog. It was a dog that had to be transported to the vet,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Yeah, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. You know, I'm for the most part, I'm a dog lover. And I don't care. Yeah, they might make a little mess. You know, but I had one bad experience one time in recent memory. It wasn't a guide dog or a service animal, but it was a big golden retriever. Guy was standing outside in the rain with his dog. The dog got in the car, got directly behind me, and let off with this huge bark that I swear to God my ears were ringing 15 minutes after I dropped him off. And yeah, he made a mess. He made a mess everywhere with wet dog hair. And but you know, again, it's kind of like a puker. Unfortunately, in our line of work, it comes with the territory, and I've learned to accept it.
The last animal that I turned down going to the airport, poodle. And they had put some kind of vest on it, you know, like it's supposed to show that this is my
a working dog.
I just, on principle, I thought to myself, you're going to take this dog on the plane, inconvenience others. I feel for the dog having to go into cargo. I don't, you know, I get all that. But enough of this. I need to have my dog with me. You're plenty healthy, you know. I'm sorry, the dog has to travel the way the dogs travel. You know, you've got to take the rest of the people on the plane into account. We got people bringing chickens and pigs, and next thing you know, it's a bus out of Calcutta. Well,
I do draw the line at chickens. Chickens and snakes.
Look, chickens and snakes belong. Well, that's for Friday and Saturday. That's for recreational purposes. But that's another story for another time. It's a shame
exactly.
We don't have time for that story.
It's probably a good thing we don't have time for that story.
Well, we got about about another minute or so before it closes us out here, and I just want to say all bombs. I just want to say that.
No, wait, now it's funny, but you have to say that again because for some reason the robot tried to choke you.
Mother of all bombs.
Right on. Now, you see, I wouldn't land that on an Uber car. I saw your illustration, by the way. Well done. I would pinpoint that right in one particular San Francisco building, except for one problem. I like Square. Square is in the same office building as Uber is in San Francisco. Yeah. And I like Square. Square is a huge convenience. I don't know if I remember telling you this, but our family vacation last year, we took a trip up the West Coast. What's that?
That's our last minute, sir.
Oh, okay.
We're fading out.
I was going to say, I made it a point to go to Uber's office building and pose with my delete Uber cap and post it on the Twitterverse. And I hope
everybody have a good
point.
We'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye, John.
Bye. Take it easy. Yes.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.